We're talking about prayer this morning. How's everybody doing? Good, good, good. Very good. I want to go ahead and start us out with prayer, and then we'll get into our lesson about prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this opportunity that we have to come and to worship you in spirit and in truth, and to have a place to be able to be warm and comfortable, and to have a copy of your word in written form as well as in digital form. Father, we're thankful for the leadership here. We're thankful for all the members here. We're just thankful for so many things this morning, Father. We ask that you be with those that are on their way, that you would give them safety as they travel here. Father, we're just so thankful for all you continue to do for us. We're thankful for our new sister in Christ. We ask that you continue to be with her as she grows in her relationship with you. Father, we ask that you be with us as we study another portion of your word, Father. Pray that the things that we do and say are in accordance to your word, Father. All these things we ask in your Son, Jesus' name, who died for us all. Amen. All right. Okay. So I got a couple questions I want to start off with concerning prayer. What are some things that you pray about, or you think that we need as a country, as a church, as families, or workers on jobs that we need to be praying about? What are some things that we should be praying about? Any? Yes?
I tend to pray for more spiritual depth.
Okay.
Because I do that covers all of
the things. Okay. So spiritual depth is what you pray for. Okay. Deeper depth into understanding more spiritual things. Anyone else? What do you pray about? Or what do you think needs to be prayed about? Okay, so praying for people that are sick, praying for our brothers and sisters. Rick?
I start praying for my children's future spouses.
Amen.
Yeah.
Our world is so messed up. Yeah, so Rick is praying for his children's future spouses, and I think that is very awesome to be praying about. That's very important. Someone else had a hand. Yes. Okay, so we should be praying for our national leaders. That definitely is something that a lot of folks have been praying about lately. Anyone else? What have you been praying about, or what do you think needs to be prayed about at this present time? Those that are lost, those that are not a member of the body of Christ, those that haven't obeyed the gospel, we need to pray for them. That's very, very important. Anyone else? Things that we should pray about, or yes, Rick? Growth for the congregation. Spiritual growth as well as numerical growth. Yes, definitely. Definitely we should be praying about spiritual growth for the congregation as well as numerical growth for the congregation. Any other ideas about what needs to be prayed about? Yes?
I'm having trouble formulating it without being honest, but I just try to pray for more wisdom and less quickness to anger.
Okay. So praying for more wisdom. And you said?
I said less quickness to anger.
Less quickness to anger.
The flowery version is something like for God to mold away my weaknesses. But the honest version is like for God to take care of my sin.
Okay. So pray that God would help you take care of your sin.
That's it.
Yes. Yep, that's pretty straightforward. I like that. Yes?
Yeah.
Yeah, your body might just start slowing down. You got to go chase after your kid. Oh, my leg. Yeah, you should slow down. So we're talking about prayer. What are some reasons why you pray? That could be another question. What are some reasons why you pray? More specifically, identifying yourself. Yes? Yes. You need him to help you. Yes? To stay connected. To stay connected to God. Okay. So we can all agree that we're all praying to God. That's who we're praying to. We're praying to our Creator. We're praying to the one that provides for us. We're praying to God. There's no drop calls with prayer. Doesn't matter where we are on the globe or in the air, wherever we are, we can pray. A lot of people were praying. I heard that there was an aircraft, Alaskan Airline, the window or the door blew out, and they had to make an emergency landing in Portland, Oregon. I was like, wow. Luckily, no one's life was lost. Just a couple luggage and things like that. I think cell phones went out, too. I think some kid lost their shirt. So that's pretty minimal. I was thinking after, as I was beginning to read that headline, it was like, how many people did we lose? But I think all 171 of the people survived, and the pilot was able to land that plane. So that's pretty amazing. Rick? Okay. That's very valid, very valid. So let's talk about the purpose of prayer. In August 2005, Newsweek and BeliefNet asked 1,004 Americans what they believe and how they practice their faith. One of the questions was this: what do you think is the most important purpose of prayer? And here are the results. First response was to seek God's guidance. That was 27% of the population that answered the question. The second was to thank God, 23%. The third was to be close to God or the divine, 19%. The fourth was to help others, 13%. The fifth was to improve a person's life, 9%. The sixth was 4% other. And then the last was, don't know, 5%. So some of you are answering that question saying that you want to improve your wisdom. You want to be close to God. I think you said that one, something similar to that. So that's pretty interesting. So what is the purpose of prayer? As the answers above suggest, there are many reasons that we should pray. One way to remember the purpose of prayer is an acronym, ACTS. ACTS. The A stands for adoration. The A stands for adoration. Expression adoration. God is certainly worthy of our praise, our adoration. While we can praise God in song, we can also praise God in our prayers. We can give God the praise. And so examples of adoration and prayer, we can look over to Ephesians chapter 3, looking at verses 14 through 21. So let's look at this example of this adoration here in Ephesians chapter 3. Looking at verses 14 through 21. Ephesians chapter 3. Verses 14 through 21. Here the writer says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. That's adoration, isn't it? It's all about God, isn't it? It's all about God. Everything is acknowledging God's provision, what God does, who he is, even asking him for things that we don't even know we can ask for. I like the idea, or what Tommy was saying about asking for spiritual things, moving forward spiritually, but also like about wisdom, about dealing with overcoming our sin, because that's so important, because we as parents, we as older people in the church, people that have been in the church for a while, we're examples. And so we want to be the best example of a Christian for our children, for our grandchildren, for the children in the church, for new Christians, and just for each other. I mean, just think of it. If we can just strive to be a better Christian, just add 10 more percent to that, what we were last year, that will have an impact on the church in 2024. My thought for this year is more in 2024, more spiritual. But this month, more prayer. We need to focus on prayer. And we need to be an example of prayer for our children and for our brothers and sisters and for those that are in the world. But you notice how Paul was talking about God the whole time in this passage in Ephesians chapter 3. Now let's look at an Old Testament passage that is very significant. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 10 through 13. 1 Chronicles 29, 10 through 13. This is the occasion where King David was saying a prayer to God. 1 Chronicles 29, verses 10, 11, 12, and 13. Here it says, "So David blessed the Lord in the sight of all the assembly. And David said, Blessed art thou, O Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth, thine is the dominion, O Lord, and thou dost exalt thyself as head over all. Both riches and honor come from thee, and thou dost rule over all. And in thy hand is power and might, and it lies in thy hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name." What is David doing here? What is David doing in this prayer?
He's giving God the glory for everything.
He's giving God the glory for everything. David's not taking credit for any of it. And the beautiful thing about it is David, it says, he's saying all of this in the assembly of the people. Here David is the king of Israel. But he's not taking credit for all of the wealth and all of the things that he had accumulated to build the temple. Solomon was going to build the temple, but he had accumulated all those things. But he's acknowledging who?
God.
God. God is the focus. And that's why when we pray, our prayer should be a worshipable type of a prayer. It should have adoration. Expressing adoration was not is not something that we should avoid in our prayers, because we need to acknowledge the one in whom we're requesting, whom we are petitioning, who we're offering supplication, who we're talking on behalf of others. So the A in Acts is adoration. The next is confession. Were there any questions about adoration before we move on? Yes. 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 So I like that thought there, is that David, I think the scriptures say that David couldn't build the temple because he shed innocent blood. And we know that he shed the blood of Uriah the Hittite by way of sending him a letter with him to be exposed at in the war that was going on. But even with David recognizing that he had sinned and that God had said, you can't build my temple because you shed innocent blood, he still had a good attitude and recognized the one that needs to be recognized. All of our attitudes and things like that need to be out of the way when we are talking to God. Yes? Yes. Yes, exactly. That's right. Hallowed be thy name in Matthew 6. So that's really important that we remember the one that we're praying to. Yes, Elizabeth?
Along with praise, it's thankfulness.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Focusing on God and giving God the praise throughout the day, no matter how small it is so important. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Any other comments on adoration? Okay. All right. So the next is confession. So we have the A for adoration and now the C in Acts. Confessing our sins. There is mercy to be found in confessing one's sins. We can look back at Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13, a passage of scripture that relates to this. Here he says in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13, he who conceals his transgressions will not prosper. But listen to this. But he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. That's very powerful, isn't it? No one really wants to go around saying, I've done this or I've done that. But when we're talking to God, God already knows our hearts, doesn't he? God has the record of what we have done in our lives. Before we were born, God knew exactly what we were going to do. He knew we would be here today. He knew who all the folks that would be here this morning in hearing this message about prayer. So confessing, there is a reward in confessing. And there's also, I like the qualification there. He says, but he who confesses, and you have that addition there, and forsakes the transgressions will find what? Mercy or compassion. That is just beautiful. Another passage that is one of my favorite verses is 1 John chapter 1, looking at verses 7 through 10, dealing with confession as well, confessing our sins. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 through 10. Here he says, But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, listen to this, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So confessing our sins is so important, because you're just being honest. You're being real about who you are. God already knows who you are, but you're acknowledging to him that you know that you've done wrong and you want to make amends. You want to do what's right. And when you're in a relationship, that's what you do. When you make mistakes, you say, I'm sorry, I did whatever it is. In the case of God, he always knows when we've done wrong. But God wants to hear from each and every one of us, doesn't he? He wants to hear our confession to him. Some examples of confessing sins. We can look over at Luke chapter 18, verse 10 through 14, the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. Luke chapter 18, looking at verses 10 through 14. Luke chapter 18, looking at verses 10 through 14. He says, two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax gatherer. The Pharisee stood and was praying thus to himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax gatherer. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. But the tax gatherer, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, but he who humbles himself shall be exalted. So here you have somebody that is being honest and somebody else is not being honest. The picture that Jesus shows here is you have one man that was praying to himself. The object of our prayer is to God, not to ourselves. I mean, it makes no sense to pray to yourself unless you're the God. I mean, God doesn't pray to himself. But here this Pharisee was so caught up in himself and the different things that he was doing, but he was missing the whole picture that God is the one that we need to pray to. And this publican, he was honest. Some say tax collector. But he was honest with who he was. And, of course, he went home justified because he was honest with himself. We have another example of someone confessing their sins. Psalm 51, verses 1 through 13. We have David. Psalm 51, 1 through 13. Starts here. Be gracious to me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the greatness of thy compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, I have sinned and done what is evil in thy sight, so that thou art justified when thou dost speak and blameless when thou dost judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, thou dost desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part thou wilt make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which thou hast broken rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from thy presence, and do not take thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners will be converted to thee. That's a very moving passage to me when I think about David repenting, confessing, and wanting God, not just confessing of his sins, but saying, I want to be renewed. David was said of to be a man after God's own heart. He chased after a relationship with God. And I believe that's what motivated David in 1 Chronicles that we were looking at earlier, to have such a positive attitude about acknowledging who God is and what God had done. And that's why he had so much adoration for God, because he always respected God. And so when we look at these Old Testament characters who were chasing after God and had a relationship with God, recognize that they too struggled with sin in their lives. And when we look at David, he was one that was sorrowful for his sin, and he asked God to help him get over his sin. And so that's really important there that we see that. So confessing is very important in prayer. So we have A and the C for confession, and now we move on to the T, thanksgiving. And when you think about thanksgiving, what definition would you give of the word thanksgiving? Yes, yes.
That's the earthly
definition. Yes. All right. Anyone want to give me the other side of thanksgiving?
Gratitude.
Anyone else?
Giving thanks.
Yep. Giving thanks. Yep. Counting our blessings. So thanksgiving. So the T, thanksgiving. Offering thanksgiving. Being thankful is emphasized repeatedly in exhortations to pray. We look over at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. We see this idea of thanksgiving. Ephesians 5, 20. He says, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. So there's an example of thanksgiving, but also Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Colossians 4, 2. He says, devote yourselves to prayer. Keep an alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. So it's an attitude that we have a choice of being thankful as we are praying. Even in your devotion, you need to be mindful of being thankful to God as you're praying. It's very important. Another is 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 through 18. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 through 18. He says, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ. Christ Jesus. And so we should be thankful. Yeah, I was thinking about the turkey too when I said Thanksgiving. I can just see Vacation Bible School with a turkey on our head or a chicken. I left mine in Aztec. I had one. But when you're thankful, if you can put a little chicken on your head, you're thankful. A little cloth thing. But it's amazing how exciting the kids get too, and adults. But being thankful is so important. So important to have thankfulness. And then we look over finally at Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, in dealing with thankfulness or thanksgiving. Philippians 4, 6. He says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." There's no whining in that, is it? No complaining, no bickering, but thanksgiving. When we really recognize who it is that we're praying to, our attitudes change. But sometimes, depending on our attitude or focus or whatever stresses that we're dealing with in our lives, we can lose focus and forget about who it is that we are praying to. Has anybody been there before? You ever struggled with that? Just think about David in 1 Chronicles 29. God told him he couldn't build the temple. But I don't think there's a record of him complaining about it. It almost seemed like he just went on and was like, "Okay, you're right. I did shed innocent blood. But God told him, your son's going to build the temple." So when we are praying to God, we need to come with a positive attitude, thanking God for being who he is. Yes? It's a command. It's a command. Yep. It's a good thing for you. It's good to be thankful. It's good to be thankful. How do you feel when you're thankful? What does it feel like for you when you're thankful? Anybody? Yes?
It almost like it lifts a weight off of your shoulders because
you're perspective. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yep. When you're thankful, you know it's God's doing. When you're thankful, it takes that weight off of you. You don't have that weight of responsibility. But when you begin to be thankful, you're recognizing the truth. See, lies and things that we've been taught in our lives saying you need to do this, and if your life's not this way, then you shouldn't be thankful, and you need to be complaining, and you're not there, you haven't achieved. We all need to be thankful for wherever we are in our lives, because it's God that's taking care of us. God is the one that provides for every one of us in here. All the people all around the world, God is taking care of them right now as we speak. It's because of him that we have our life, our breath, the places that we stay, everything that we have, even the hairs on our heads. God has provided that for us. He's taking care of those things for us. And so we should be thankful. Should be thankful people. Some examples of offering thanks. We can look to Matthew 11:25 for some more examples of offering thanks. Matthew 11:25. Here is Christ's example of thanksgiving. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I praise thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou didst hide these things from the wise and intelligent and didst reveal them to babes. So here, Jesus is acknowledging God, giving God the praise. Also, another example is in Matthew 26:27. Matthew 26:27. I think that's an error. Yep, that's an error there. I stand corrected on that one. Okay. All right. Another example would be John 11:41. And so they removed the stone, and Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hearest me. And then, of course, verse 42, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people standing around, I said it, that they may believe that thou didst send me. So here again is another example of Jesus giving thanks to God and acknowledging God. So that's an example there as well. If we go back to the Old Testament, we can look at Daniel's example. Daniel had the custom to thank God three times a day. Daniel 6:10. Daniel 6:10. It says, now when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house, now in his roof chamber. He had windows open toward Jerusalem, and he continued kneeling on his knees three times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God, as he had been doing previously. So it was Daniel's custom to give thanks to God and also to pray three times a day. He was on schedule. When your enemies know that you're praying three times a day, they even signed a decree knowing that he would be guilty of praying. And always when I think about Daniel, if we can just be guilty of doing the right thing all the time, that would be just fine. Amen. Being guilty of praying to God. So thanksgiving is the T in Acts. The last one, do we have any questions about thanksgiving? All right. Okay, now we're going to look at supplication. Supplication. So supplication is the S. Making supplication, we are encouraged to let our requests be known to God. And we've looked at Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. But let us also look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, looking at verses 1 and 2. Dealing with supplication. Here he says, first of all, then I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, in order that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. So we are commanded to make supplications for all people. In other words, speak on behalf of another. So our prayer should not just be about us, should it? It should be about others. And when we began to think about others and care about others, we become more and more like our Father. Because God is taking care of all people, everybody. And so when we began to learn how to pray for others, like I see the list about the different people that needed to be prayed about, the Barnabas list. That's amazing that different people are saying, I want this particular person prayed for, and then this is why. That's so important and so awesome that prayer is not only, people are not only being prayed for, but there is a list that you can look at, that you can carry with you. And when you're doing your prayers during the day, you can look at it and say, oh, I need to pray for this specific individual for this specific reason. So that's very powerful to be able to pray for them. Examples of making supplication is 1 Timothy 5:5. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 5. It says, now she who is a widow indeed and who has been left alone has fixed her hope on God and continues in entreaties and prayers night and day. So this is an example of an individual, a widow, that's praying for others. She's making supplication, and that's real widows. Then also we have an example of Solomon. He made supplication at the dedication of the temple in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 28 through 29. 2 minutes? That's it, okay. All right. Thank you for your time. He told me that was it. Yep. All right, you can.